In Luke chapter number 24, if you got your place there, you can stand with us. Rest yourself for a moment as well to, and more importantly, to respect God's word. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to break in on a post-resurrection story of the two on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. We begin reading in verse number 13, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger? What about that? Talking to the very resurrected Son of God, and they thought he was a stranger. That's a whole other message in itself, but Jesus can become a stranger to you, even as a disciple of the Lord. And but anyway, that stuck out to me. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, while which were early at the sepulcher. And verse 23, and when they found not his body, they came in saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What about that? Amen. Jesus is not just a New Testament subject. He said Moses was talking about me. He said the prophets were talking about me. And he expounded. I like that word, expounded. That's, amen. There's a lot of need to be preached concerning that in our churches, to expound upon the word of God. Amen. And that's another message in itself. But verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. And they had constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, I like that, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, and keep in mind, they still don't know who he is. As he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and break and gave to them. Now there was something familiar about that. There was something familiar about that that caught their attention to reveal to them who he was. Where is another account in the Gospel of John where he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it? When he fed the 5,000 plus. And maybe that's their mind went back and said, oh, wait a minute. I know who this is. They're the only one can do this. But it goes on to say in verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to, this is our text verse. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I like verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the reading of the holy word of God. Thank you for its inspiration and also its preservation. Lord, if you didn't preserve it, we wouldn't have it today. Lord, I pray that you will open it to our hearts, open our hearts to the word. Deal with us all today. Speak to us. Lord, deal with sinners about their salvation, Lord, I pray. Deal with those that are saved but that are at a distance from you. They're cold in their heart toward you. I pray you deal with us, Lord, about that. Help us, Lord, in these hours and these moments together. And Lord, may church change our life today. May we be different as a result of meeting with you and meeting with God's people today. Lord, I pray that our lives will be challenged to go to another spiritual level. I pray you deal with us as only you can, because you know us, Lord. You know every one of us. You know us in detail, and you know what we need. Lord, you know what needs to be added. You know what needs to be taken away and out of our life. Help us to trust you today. Lord, help me to be spiritually minded. Help me to have discernment. Help me to have direction. Lord, I don't want to just get up here and say some things, but I want to get up here today, Lord, with something to say. Birth in my heart by the Spirit of God. Work in us, on us, and through us today for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again so much for standing. Back again in verse number 32, I want to direct your attention to something that is very simple and no doubt everyone in here knows about it. But I want to look at it when they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures. The implication there is that prior to Christ talking with them in the way, prior to him opening the scriptures to them, their hearts was not burning. Their hearts was not on fire. In fact, their hearts were cold. Amen. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ is able to cause the heart to burn again. And I want to preach just a simple thought on a burning heart. Just ask you today, I know you're in a good church, and we thank the Lord for how he's blessed us and helped us, and we're grateful for where he's brought us from. None of us have a horn to toot, so we're going to magnify him today. But I want you to know that even in RBT here today, members and visitors alike, there is great potential of someone having a cold heart spiritually. He's not talking in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us. He wasn't necessarily talking about that physical organ that pumps blood through your system. No, he's talking about that seed of affection. That affection in his heart was burning for Jesus. And they kind of had spiritual heartburn, you could say. And I want to know today and ask yourself, is your heart on fire? I've been saved 33 years, been preaching 33 years, been here 21. I want to tell you today, from my point of view and from me as a preacher, it takes a lot of maintenance on my part. It takes a lot of attention on my part to keep my heart where it needs to be. Are you listening? I'm not talking about dealing with my salvation. I'm talking about dealing with my spiritual life and my spiritual fellowship with God and my intimacy with him and him meaning something to me. Well, I still remember Brother Tom Siebert preached here on a Friday night years ago, and he was challenging our young people, and he said, if you're ever going to be anything for God, God's going to have to mean something to you. Amen. That's implied there with our hearts burning within us, that Jesus meant something to them again, that there was a refreshment and a restoration that took place. And it's very important to note, I believe as well, that Jesus Christ is concerned about your heart. Amen. He's concerned about your heart. I mean, there's hundreds of verses that reference the heart, that talks about the heart. Amen. And there's no way that we could deal with all of them. But what about this one? Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. God says what you are is coming out of your heart. As you think in your heart, linking your thought life with your heart, as you think in your heart, and your affections do have, listen, what you love does have an influence on what you think about. If you don't love something, you won't think about it. Amen. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What about this verse, Proverbs 4, in verse number 23? Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of what? Your heart. Keep thy heart, not your neighbor's heart, not your wife and husband's heart, not, amen, your heart. You're responsible for your heart. Your spirituality is your responsibility. Have you heard that before? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life. He said, keep it, guard it, protect your heart, watch over your heart. Why? The devil's after it. The devil wants to steal away your heart. This world is geared to throw water on your spiritual fire. Amen. To make you cold toward God. Oh, yes. I guarantee you there's folk right here in this service this morning. You heard the singing or may even been a part of the singing. I bet your heart's cold. Your heart is cold toward the Lord. Amen. Keep thy heart. Protect it. And then he said, for out of it are the issues of life. That word issues just simply means the outgoings. The outgoings of life. Amen. Oh, yes. How you do and what you are and what you're going to become all comes out of your heart. So if that's the case, shouldn't we pay close attention to it? Amen? Your heart needs to be your focus. How many in here, you can just answer it inside you, but how many in here are concerned about your physical heart? I mean, if your physical heart starts acting up today, would that take priority? If your physical heart started, beating wrong or racing or missing beats or even quitting, well, would that get your attention? Would you stop and, well, it don't matter now what I'm planning on. This is top priority. Amen. Why? Because you know that if that physical organ, that physical heart fails, Brother Fultz, that's it. That's it. That's the end of the program for you. Amen. But oh, I want to tell you, there is a spiritual heart. There is a spiritual affection in you. There is a seed of affection, your desires. And oh, we need to keep our eye on our heart. Keep thine heart, for out of it. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What about this verse of Scripture? I'm using some verses to show you that your heart is very important to God and should be important to you. Your spiritual heart. Amen. Oh, no telling what God can do with a church that has a heart for Him. No telling what God can do with a young lady or a young man that has a heart for the Lord. Amen. I can tell the condition your heart's in by whose heart you're after. Hello? I can tell a lot about your heart by whose heart you're after. A lot of people go to church, they're not after the Lord's heart. They're after the world's heart. They're after people's heart. They're wanting to please people. But oh, I remind you of a young man named David that killed Goliath and killed the bear and killed the lion and was the king of Israel, and God used him mightily. You know why? Was it because he was perfect? No. The Bible lets us in on it. He was a man after God's own heart. That was the key. God can do great things with people whose heart is for the Lord. Can I give you another verse or two? 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, you remember Samuel standing in front of Jesse and his sons, looking to anoint a king, a new king, to replace Saul. And Shammah and Eliab and all of them passed by. And they were big, robust men, kind of like me, you know. Amen. I'll say my own amen right there. I'm just kidding. But Samuel, when he saw their biceps and he saw their stature and he saw their height and he saw how big they were and probably heard about their record in battle, he probably thought, this one's he. This one's the one. And God said, nope, that's not the one. That's not the one. And all and seven of the sons of Jesse passed by and God kept saying, nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Those that's got the big muscles, that's not the one. Those that were tall, that's not the one. Those that had experience in battle and a little reputation in battle, that's not the one. And he asked Jesse, said, do you have any more sons? And he said, I've got one more, and he's the youngest. And he's down there watching the sheep, and his name's David. And they said, go get him. And they brought him in, and soon as he come in, little lad, I'm talking about a teenager, and God said to Samuel, that is him, anoint him king. What was the difference? What was the difference, ladies and gentlemen? Samuel was looking on the outward. He was looking on the physical. Amen. He was looking on the physical, but God was looking at something else. Amen. What was it? 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God, the Lord, looketh upon what? The heart. God is saying, when I'm looking for somebody to hold a position, when I'm looking for somebody that'll make a difference for me, that I can use, that I can anoint with my spirit, I'm looking for somebody that's not got it all together physically, but spiritually they do. How many people focuses more on what man can see? Now, I wrote this down. I think it's very important. I think there are some... There's two ditches right there as a potential of getting in. And they're both a ditch, and they're both will wreck you. Amen? One is, there are those who focuses all on the inward and then let the outward go. And then the other ditch is, there are those that focuses all on the outward, but they let the inside go. Amen? They focus on those that focus on the inward. They think it's all about the spiritual and that the outward doesn't matter. And you can tell by the way they live, they believe that. Right. They don't think it matters how you look and how you talk and the music you listen to and places you go and how you conduct yourself and your attitude and all of that. But I want to tell you, both of them are important. Both of them are important. Listen, the point made there in that verse, now don't twist it out. Don't make it say what it's not saying. The reason that Shammah and Eliab and the others were rejected was not because of the outward stature. God is not saying, Samuel, I'm rejecting Eliab because he's 6'6" or whatever and he can bench press 450 pounds. But he's saying the reason I'm rejecting them is they do not have a heart for me. They do not have a heart. Your heart matters. Amen. Your heart matters. Listen to this verse of Scripture. And I wonder how many in church are like this man in the Old Testament by the name of Amaziah. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse number 2 says something very good about him. The Bible said, and Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Wasn't that a good commentary? Isn't that a good statement and a good report? How many of you would like to have that said of you? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But that's not all the verse. You know what the other part of the verse says? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. God says, I noticed what you did, but he said, I also noticed how you did it. Amen. I noticed that you were half-hearted. Amen. That word, Brother Fultz, where it said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, meant he was lacking heart. Did you know you can do what's right without your heart in it? That's what's killing our churches. Folks singing in the choir and their heart not in it. Teaching Sunday school, their heart not in it. Singing congregational songs with us and their heart's not in it. Amen. Coming to church, but your heart's not in it. Amen. God pays attention to that. Thank God, I know he's glad you're here physically, because he said in Hebrews 10:25, he said, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know he's glad that you are here and I'm here physically. But it goes deeper than that. God is looking at our heart. What kind of heart, what kind of condition is your heart in? Then don't you forget it now. If your heart's not right, you're subject to do anything. Oh, no, preacher, not me. Keep in mind, Proverbs 4:23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or the outgoings or the doings of life. You get your heart crossed up with God and you're subject to say anything. You're subject to do anything. Amen. Don't trust your flesh. Don't trust your heart. Oh, preacher, I trust. No. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust. You trust the Lord. You don't trust your heart. Why? Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God says you better watch your heart. It's wicked. Amen. Amen. Come on now. And God wants us to, amen, to keep our eye on our heart. Listen to this verse. I'm going to try to get into the message, but listen to this verse. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Did you get that verse? God said, have y'all heard that statement, to and fro? Have y'all heard that before? What about Job chapter 1? The devil, when God asked him, where you been? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. And in that context of Job 1, it is showing a scarcity of people living righteous lives. Because that's who the devil was looking for. He was looking for people that was living for God and that he wanted to destroy. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? They said, oh yeah, I've checked him out. But you've got a hedge about him. Amen. To and fro identifies a scarcity of what you're looking for. It's not plentiful. It's not just everywhere. And God said, my eyes have been going to and fro on the earth. Said, I've been looking to and fro in the earth. And what are you looking for, Lord? What are you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for somebody whose heart is perfect toward me. I'm looking for somebody whose heart's perfect toward me so I can be strong in their behalf. Oh, yes. Boy, that's powerful. Y'all need to write that verse down and look at it and meditate on it later on. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse number 9. Colossians 3, listen to this verse. Verse 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, does that not identify salvation? Right. If you then be risen with Christ, seek. That shows responsibility. That shows direction. Seek those things which are where? Above. Above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. Amen. Most people go to church are not focusing on things above. They've not set their affection on things above. They love things more than they do God. Amen. God help us. Set your affection. That means you're going to have to do it. Seek those things which are above. That means you're going to have to do it. It's not going to be automatic. Listen, folks. Lord spoke to my heart this morning, just refreshing my heart again, that I have a burning heart, Brother Tom. To have a burning heart is not automatic. It's not just going to happen. It's not going to fall out of the sky. It's not just going to happen. If your heart is going to be right with God, if you're going to be clean before God, it's going to take maintenance. It's going to take attention. Amen. You're going to have to pay attention to your heart and as it relates to God. Amen. Oh, yeah. David said in getting right with God in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Right. Amen. Wasn't one of the Beatitudes that Jesus said, blessed are the what? Pure in heart. Right. Amen. God is looking for the heart. God's looking at the heart today. Right. Amen. God help us. Set your affection on things above. But I noticed this also. Write it down, at least in your heart. That you having a burning heart, and by the way, it is the will of God for every believer to have a burning heart. Right. Your heart ought to be on fire for the Lord. Right. Amen. And I'll deal with that more in just a little bit. But I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the will of God. God's expecting that of us. And if it's an expectation of God and it's His will, when our hearts are not on fire, then we are at that point a hindrance. Let me give you something if you're here today and you're lost. Let me give you something. When you get saved, your heart does not burn for sin any longer. If you still have a passion and your heart's burning for sin, you have never been saved. Are you listening? Amen. That's right. And you don't have to go far from where I'm standing, knock on doors, talk to people, and they'll tell you, oh, I'm saved. And they don't ever go to church. They're shacked up, and they're drinking alcohol like a fish drinks water, cuss like a sailor, and smoking dope and popping pills and everything else, and they'll tell you, oh, I'm saved. I don't believe a word of that. I believe God will change your life, and there's verses to confirm that. God will change your heart. God will change your thoughts. God will change your desires. Are you listening? Boy, to have your heart burning for God shows that it's cold toward sin. Amen. Well, I'd get saved, preacher, but I can't live it. Yeah, you can live it. I'll tell you why. One of the reasons is God rearranges and changes your affection. That which you used to hate, now you love. That which you used to love, now you hate. God changes your love. God changes your life. God changes your longings. Why? Because you have a new Lord. Amen. Listen to this right here. Boy, this got good to me. This got big in my heart. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scripture? You know what that's telling us? That's telling us, Brother Obie, that their hearts was on fire with God. Their heart was on fire with God. God, Jesus, was the one that caused it. Their heart was on fire with God, and then it resulted in their heart being on fire for God. You know why we're having a hard time, Brother Fultz, getting people on fire for God? They're not on fire with Him. A classic Old Testament illustration of that with and for analogy there is the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, you know the burning bush that God was in and called Moses and all of that. You know that story. Hey, guess what? That bush was on fire with God. God was burning in that bush.
That bush was on fire with God, and then it was on fire for God, and people's lives were changed as a result of it. We're trying to get people on fire for God, and they're not intimate with Him. They're not walking with Him. They're not talking with Him. They're distant to Him. Amen. Amen. I may not be preaching nobody to myself, but I want to tell you, I know this for a fact, that if you get close to Him and intimate with Him and get fired up with Him, He is what fires you up, then you'll be fired up for Him. Amen. Amen. And the world don't want you on fire with God, and they don't want you on fire for God. The world don't care if you go to church. Just don't get on fire with God and for God. Amen. The devil don't care if you read your Bible. Just don't let it fire you up. Amen. Go to church, but don't let it fire you up. Pray, but don't let it fire you up. Amen. Come on now. Amen. That's right. Well, listen. I want to give you this right here. But this will probably be the message this morning. No need for us to deal with a burning heart. The end of the story. Until we deal with the cold heart at the beginning of what we read today. If you're not afraid of a cold heart, if you're not looking at a cold heart and cold-heartedness as dangerous, then you're not going to be concerned about a fired up heart and a burning heart. Is that right? And I'm going to give you some things, and listen, I hope it'll be convicting to us. God give this to me. God spoke this to my heart. The first thing, and these are some things I want you to write down now about a cold heart that I see right here in our text. Now keep this in mind. Big things was happening all around them. We're talking about the two on the road to Emmaus here. Big things, supernatural things, eternal things, victorious things was happening around them, and their heart was still cold. Jesus had died on a cross, was buried, rose again, just like He said, and their hearts were cold. Isn't that something? A cold heart. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. There's going to be four of these. Probably shouldn't have told you that, because you'll count them off. The first thing, boy, I'm telling you, this spoke to me. The first thing I notice about a cold heart and why that you and I ought to reject a cold heart and keep our hearts from getting cold. By the way, I meant to deal with this a while ago, that a burning heart is not automatic. Remember me telling that? But it's not permanent either. You can be on fire for God last year, but not now. You can be on fire for the Lord, your heart, burning in intimacy and fellowship with Jesus last week, but you can be cold today. I've seen my spiritual temperature, I've seen it go from hot to cold in less than 24 hours. I've seen that in my own life. It takes a lot to build a fire spiritually, but it don't take much to put it out. Amen. And the world, you know what the world wants to give you to put on your fire? Dirt and filth. Dirt won't burn, buddy. You can throw dirt on a fire and it'll put it out. People's fire has went out in the house of God, and you don't have to go to too many churches to agree with that. The fire is gone out in most churches, and what churches have seemingly got a little fire, it's more wildfire than anything. And Brother Silas, I want it to be on record that I, along with RBT, hopefully RBT's with us on this, I hate no fire. I hate dead religion, dead church services, dead preaching, dead singing, dead praying. I hate it. Nobody will ever want to get saved in dead church services. Even Jesus said through the angel there at the tomb, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" You can't find a living Savior in a dead church. You know, if you go to many churches, friend, that the fire of God is gone pretty much out of the house of God. And that's, and as a result of that, most churches, instead of backing up and repenting and finding out what's went wrong and why did we offend God and where did we offend the Holy Ghost and why did we lose the power of God, instead of doing that, they've improvised and fabricated a substitute. They think, man, if we've got activities, nobody will notice the deadness. If we have entertainment, nobody will notice the deadness. And sad, most people that go to church would not notice. They don't know the difference from entertainment to spirituality. Amen. And most people going to church, that's what they're wanting. They're fed on entertainment all week through the music they listen to, through the television, through the internet, through associations and all of that. They're fed on entertainment. And when we come to church, buddy, there's no entertainment here. It's preaching and singing and praying and spiritual things. And that doesn't appeal to a fleshly, entertaining heart. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we don't have to come up with new fads and fashions, and we don't have to come up with new music and new methods and all of that. I tell you what we need. We just need to get intimate with the Lord again, and our hearts will burn again for the Lord, and the power of God will be made manifest in our midst. Amen. Write this down. Lord, help me, Jesus. This strikes fear to my heart. This strikes terror to my heart, because I know that if my heart is cold, these four things are very probable to happen. The first thing I noticed about a cold heart was the course they were taking. Why should we refrain from our hearts getting cold on the Lord? Because of the course it will lead you down. Look at chapter 24 and verse number 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. That was where they lived. You know what that's saying? They were going home. They were going back to where they used to live. They were going back to their old life. They'd give up. Hey, you know why you better be afraid of having a cold heart in you, ma'am and sir and young lady and young man, all of us, me included, the pastor of Rogersville Baptist Temple. Listen, a cold heart will do for me what it'll do for you. It will not go forward for God. It will not progress. It will digress. It will go backwards. I've had people to tell me, preacher, I'd never do this or that. Referring to something in their life, Brother Tim, in their past life. And I said, you better be careful what you're saying. I'm looking at a congregation, and a congregation is looking at a preacher. That I'm going to tell you, if our heart gets cold, there's nothing we wouldn't do and couldn't do. We'd all be shocked. Listen, we'd all be shocked, and I've had people to tell me, Brother Tom, preacher, I can't believe how quickly my life unraveled. I got out of church, I got the will of God, my heart got cold toward God, and preacher, I can't believe how quickly that my life went into a dead spiral downward. Amen. If I had a songbook in my hand, there's a law in here that you can't see. You know what it's called? The law of gravity. And that means, hand me one right here. That means as long as I'm interfering with that law, as long as I'm interrupting that law is still pulling on that book. That law of gravity is still pulling on that book. Where's it wanting it to go? Down. And not stop till it hits bottom. But you see, I'm interrupting that. I'm keeping that from happening. And I want you to watch now. Right now, there's an intimacy between that book and my hand. There's contact between that book and my hand. There's closeness between that book and my hand. Are you listening? Amen. But I want to tell you, when you lose intimacy with the Lord, amen, and you, listen, watch this right here. I didn't drop it. I just removed the support. I didn't throw that book on the ground. Typical of your life and mine, when we get out of fellowship with God, the laws of this stinking world will begin to pull on you and will begin to desire you to go down and to go back. Are you listening? There's not a one in here tonight couldn't get out of church, or this morning, that couldn't get out of church before next Sunday.
You're right.
Oh, you know where it comes from and comes through? A cold heart. Your heart not burning when he speaks to you, and your heart not burning when he's amen, when he's around, and amen. Listen, the course they were taking, it was downward and backward. I'm just being honest with you. I don't see too many people in church going forward. I don't see too many churches going forward. What's that? What's that revealing? That's revealing that we're being plagued with cold-heartedness. People are not in fellowship with God. Amen. Your spirituality rides on your fellowship with God. Him talking to you, you talking to Him. Him blessing you, you blessing Him. Oh Lord, have mercy. A cold heart will not go forward. I believe before the devil can ever get you out of church, he's got to get church out of you. You ought to be alarmed at that, dear sinner. Dear saint of God, individually now. Individually, you ought to be alarmed at that. If your heart is cold toward the Bible, your heart is cold toward church, your heart is cold toward prayer, your heart is cold toward tithing and giving to missions and witnessing for God and all the other things we could add. The course they were taking. Paul dealt with the Galatian church. Which direction were they going in? He said, you did run well, but who hindered you? Implying you're not going forward now, you're going backwards. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him. So soon removed from Him. Why would Paul give a church the exhortation, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage? Why did he tell that church that? Because they were showing signs of going backwards and their heart was cold. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Pray. Listen, we need to pray one for another here today that our hearts not get cold. Brother Tom, if my heart gets cold, it's not your fault. I need to assume the responsibility. If my heart's cold toward the Lord and it gets there, I'd be lying to tell you that I've been saved 33 years and I've been on fire ever since. No, there's been times that I've been so cold that I was surprised God didn't kill me. There's been times my old heart, brother, is so cold toward God. Are you listening? And I was afraid at times that God was not even going to let me make it home. Lived in fear. Why? Because I knew I was out of fellowship with God. I knew my heart was cold toward Him, and I wasn't listening to Him. And I guarantee you, you've been cold, and maybe are cold even now. And that's what the warfare's over. The flesh, the world, the devil's going to be a fighting you to get your spiritual fire down to a flicker. Oh God. A cold heart first is expressed in the course that they were taking. Number two, it was expressed in the communication they were talking. Jesus said to them in verse 14, and they talked together, of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And look what verse 17 says. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Jesus said, I've been listening to you talk. I've been listening to your cold heart talk. We need to be afraid. We need to be guarding against cold heartedness because of the course that it will take you down. Amen. Cold heartedness will bust your home up. Cold heartedness will change your attitude towards your preacher. Change your attitude towards your church. Change your heart toward the will of God. But I want to tell you, secondly, listen, you need to watch out for that cold heart because of the communication they were talking. You realize there's a connection, Matthew chapter 12, there's a connection between your heart and your mouth. Did y'all know that? How many knew that? How many's helping me preach a little bit this morning? There's a connection. What is Matthew 12? I forgot the verse. It says, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I can tell about your heart and the condition it's in by what you talk about or by what you don't talk about or both. Amen. It's a wonder. I'll just be honest with you. With as much junk that goes on in church and garbage in the house of God, people living cold and carnal lives in the house of God, walking after the flesh, I want to tell you, it's a wonder God does anything for us. You better thank God He's a God of grace or He'd never help us a lick. Amen. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in a mess this morning. Amen. We'd be shocked. We'd all blush and pass out this morning if God were to drop the big screen and flash sin that's just in this congregation right up on the screen and put the name beside it. Not just what you've done, but what you haven't done. You hadn't talked to me. You hadn't prayed. You hadn't spent any time with me. How little time we spend with God. And then we wonder why our churches are cold and our hearts are cold and young people are not interested in the things of God. I'll tell you why. It can be traced back to the H-E-A-R-T. Heart. Heart. God's looking at the heart. Amen. The communication they were talking. Amen. Yeah. People never, they talk about, preacher, I'm just kind of backwards, you know, and I'm kind of shy and stuff, and that's the reason I don't talk about Jesus. You don't think I believe that, do you? Amen. I know that people do have that disposition that they're, you know, kind of shy and backwards and they're not real talkative, but you talk about what's big to you. You'll talk about what's important to you. You'll talk about what you're fired up about. Amen. So backwards is really probably not your disposition. It's probably your direction you're going in. Say amen right there. So the cold heart, my friend, you and I, we all need to be careful. We all need to watch our heart, keep our heart, make sure that we don't get cold in our heart. Why? Because of the course that it will take us down. Secondly, because of the communication we'll be talking. Amen. You'll be saying things you didn't think you'd ever say. You'd be using language you didn't think you'd use. Amen? That's right. God's people, saved people, born-again people don't tell dirty jokes or laugh at them. Hello? I can find that word. Listen, a lot is told about you spiritually and me spiritually by what I laugh at. Or what I cry about. What I'm bothered with. Amen. Some of you this week, you've laughed at stuff that you know good and well would not even be permitted in this church.
Right.
I felt a little stump right there. Amen. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to let us know that a cold heart is dangerous. A cold heart is dangerous because of the course it will take you on and because of the communication you'll be talking and thirdly, because of the confusion you'll be thinking. Did you get that? Here's Jesus Christ in their midst and they don't even know it's Him. What was true, they thought was false. He was alive. He had rose from the dead and they were acting like it didn't happen. Listen, a cold heart not only affects your course, amen, that you take and the communication that you talk, how you talk to your family, how do you talk in church, how you talk when nobody's listening, all of that comes out of your heart. A burning heart will talk about Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Amen. There's two sides. Let me give you this real quick. I may have meant to do it earlier and it just slipped my mind, but there's two sides. There's flesh and spirit. There's God and the devil. There's heaven and the earth. There's two sides. And you're fired up about some one of them.
Right.
You're fired up either about the spiritual and then you'll be cold toward the carnal, or you're fired up toward the carnal and you'll be cold toward the spiritual.
Right. That's true.
Amen right there. So it's not a matter of me asking you, is your heart on fire? I should ask probably this morning, what is your heart on fire with? Listen, what was true they thought was false. What was real they thought was not real. They thought it was all imaginary. They thought it was all supposition, that there was no truth to it. You say, preacher, can we get in that shape as a church? Oh, yes. We can get in a shape to where Jesus can be all around us and we will not discern it. We will not pick up on it. You say, is that so? Oh, right here, they didn't even know it was Jesus. Mary went to the tomb and was talking to him and didn't even know that it was him. Mary thought it was the gardener. But when he spoke her name and said, Mary, then it became very evident, this is him. And she said, Rabboni, which means master. The disciples in the storm, Jesus come walking on the water to them. They didn't even know who he was. Why? They were being controlled with fear and unbelief and doubt. They thought he was a ghost.
That's true.
Now this is the one that really gets me. After the resurrection, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And John, of all people, John, who was the most intimate of all disciples, who had laid his head on the very bosom and breast of Jesus, got caught up in the cold-heartedness of Peter and the others, and they said, we're going with you. So you better be careful, ladies and gentlemen, if you get a cold heart, because it may spread to your children. It may spread to your wife. It may spread to your husband. It may spread into your church. It's contagious. Peter said, I tell you what, I'm going fishing. And you can read that every how you want to. That was a statement of discouragement. That was a statement saying, I'm going back to what I used to do and what I used to be. John got caught up in it. And all those disciples was on board that ship. Jesus standing on the shore now. Children, that ought to have been a dead giveaway right there. Children, have you any meat? They didn't even know it was the Lord talking to them. You better watch out from a cold heart. It'll only take you down a course you don't want to go on, but it'll cause you to start talking what you shouldn't say and how you shouldn't talk. Amen. How much time you give talking about negative things? Well, I'll tell you right now, preacher, I don't know if we're going to make it. Is that coming out of a fired up heart? Well, I don't know what's going to become of us, preacher. Is that coming from a heart that's on fire for the Lord? No. That's one that's observing the situation and the circumstance and weighing out all the elements amen. Brother Silas, listen to this right here. I can't 100% prove it, but I believe that Cleophas' wife was in with that ladies' group that went to the tomb. When the women went to the tomb, I believe his wife was with her. I believe she was there. She saw the empty grave. I believe she was there and heard personally, directly, the message from the angels that he is not here, he is risen. But now, listen, I can't prove that 100%, but I believe it's implied. But you can come down there, Brother Silas, to that verse where they begin to talk together, her and her husband. Began to talk together and talk about the things that had happened, and they were sad. You said, preacher, what happened? I believe she came back excited from the grave as the other women were, told Peter and them, and you know what I believe? I believe Cleophas discouraged his own wife. I believe he so talked negative and he so downplayed the resurrection of Jesus as if it did not happen. We just imagined, we thought it was going to be him. That he just discouraged her. Shame on that if that's happening in this church. Right. Members, visitors, any of that. Listen, you get fired up and you get, and that's not just husband and wife or wife and husband. That could be parents and children. People get excited and get around somebody that's got a cold heart and they'll pour water all over you.
Right.
You know why? They don't want you on fire when they're cold. Amen. I've seen parents, my friend, tell children, you don't have to get excited. You don't have to get that excited. You don't have to carry your Bible to school. You don't have to pass out tracts. I'm talking about mothers that one time would stand in a church and request prayer. Pray for my daughter, Marie. And that's an actual name. Pray for Marie that she'll get saved. And she got saved in that same revival I got saved in that went 7 weeks. Started carrying her Bible to the public school, being a witness for the Lord. And of all people on planet Earth that started putting her fire out and throwing wet blankets on her and talking down to her because of that was her mother. And I'm not talking about just every now and then. I'm talking about relentlessly, every day, downing her. And you don't have to go that far. You can be saved and go to heaven. You don't have to be excited like that. You don't have to go that far. You don't have to change the music you listen to. You don't have to change how you dress in public. And just kept on and on and on till the girl said, "What's the use? What's the use?" I'm amazed how many people want people saved, but they don't want them all that saved. They want their children saved, but not so saved that they surrender their life completely to the Lord. They want their mate saved, but not so that they just go 100% for Jesus. You better watch out for a cold heart because of the course it'll take you down, because of the communication you'll be talking, and because of the confusion you'll be thinking. You'll start thinking thoughts that you never thought you would think. Did you get that? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. I mean, you read it down through here. Brother, they weren't saying anything that was right. When Jesus asked them, though, there in verse 19, what things? They started out talking right. They started out saying things that was right. They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, that he was a prophet, mighty in deed, and word before God and all the people. Did you get that? And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him and to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. But besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You know what I'm seeing there? The confusion they were thinking. You won't live right if you don't think right. Your spirituality is attached to your mental, your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at the emphasis in the scriptures of thinking right. If you don't think right, you cannot be right. Amen. Whatsoever things are honest and pure and true and of a good report and all that there in Philippians 4:8, think on these things. Think on these things. How you think determines how you live. Amen. That's why Paul, let me give you this and I'll give you one more thought. One more point. That's why Paul, when he'd write his epistles, he would start out with the first chapters, he would write doctrinal chapters. You know why? That's what you're to believe. And then he would go from that and he would close the book with dealing with a practical approach. That is, here's what you're to believe. This is how you're to behave. If you don't believe right, you won't behave right. What you believe is what you think. It's how you think. And if you don't think right, then your actions will not be right. Are you listening? And so the devil wants your thoughts. He wants you to be controlled with doubtful thinking, critical thinking, negative thinking. Sure. That's right, ain't it? Watch this right here. Last thing. The reason you need to be afraid of a cold heart, and watch out for that cold heart, not only because, and it'll be expressed and exhibited. Some of you's under conviction. The Lord's put his finger on your heart and let you know, hey, your heart's cold. Your heart is getting cold. Amen. Young people, are y'all staying on fire? Y'all staying on fire? You still on fire, young people? You know how important our youth group is and our young people are? Adults, do we know how important they are? Amen. Young people, do you know how important you are to this church? I depend on you largely. I very seldom, when I'm out preaching revivals, I very seldom preach a message that I don't reference our young people. Are you still on fire? God help us. Oh, listen, there's not a one that sings in the choir. There's not a one of them. My friend, if they make just a few wrong choices, their heart can get cold. And when their heart gets cold, Brother Travis, they've lost the touch of God. They've lost the power of God. They've lost that. You can tell you're cold, my friend, when you're starting to think about everything else except God. Amen. Last thing on that cold-hearted, it'll be expressed this way, the confidence that they threw away. They said in verse 21, after reporting and talking hopelessly, their conversation, Brother Chuck, was filled with no hope. They were quitting, Brother Rob. They were going back to the house. They were so down and they were so discouraged and disheartened and cold-hearted that they threw away their confidence. Look at it. They gave that positive statement there in verse 19 about Christ Jesus of Nazareth being a prophet in mighty and deed and word before God and all the people. They had confidence in him. And then they said that the chief rulers and our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned and die. He was crucified. But notice this term right here. But we trusted. They put an ED on it. Not that we trust, but that we trusted. They threw away their confidence in the Lord. I want to tell you, I believe the devil's after our confidence. Your confidence in the Bible. If you lose confidence in the Bible, you'll not read it. You'll not apply it to your heart. You'll not let it lead you. If you lose confidence in church, you'll look for reasons not to go. Lose confidence. Lose confidence in prayer. You won't pray. Do you have confidence? If you've got a cold heart, your confidence is leaving. You can't separate it. A cold heart and a lack of confidence, they go together. Amen. It's amen. And we'll deal, Lord willing, if the Lord leads us, we'll deal tonight with the burning heart. We'll look at that, how that this thing turned and that it took them from the cold heart to a burning heart. I'm interested in that. And thank God that speaks hope to me. Hey man, you get cold in your heart, it's not permanent, Brother Tom. You don't have to just go ahead and say, well, my heart's cold, I'm out of fellowship with God, I might as well quit. No, there's hope for you. God can restore, God can turn it around. And he did in this case right here. But they threw away their confidence. So what do we look at? The cold heart. We need to watch out for, because of the course it takes us on. Backwards and downwards. We need to watch out for the cold heart and stay away from it. Don't let it happen in your heart because of the conversation you'll be talking or the communication you'll be talking. And by the way, did you notice they communed one to another? Did you notice that? They talked one to another. You know why? Cold-hearted people likes to hang around other cold-hearted people. You know why? Because if I'm cold, Brother Fultz, and you're cold, we're going to be talking about cold things. We're not going to be talking about spiritual things. Just like misery loves company, cold-heartedness loves company. Amen. Hello. Come on now. Young people, when I see that you're hanging around and getting real close, buddy-buddy, amen, boyfriend, girlfriend, with somebody whose heart is 400,000 miles away from God, that lets me know your heart's cold. Because if your heart was on fire for God and on fire with God, you would desire to find somebody that you could share that fired up communication with. That's good preaching. The truth of it. We need to watch out because of the course they were taking, the communication they were talking, the confusion they were thinking, and then because of the confidence that they were throwing away.